Hey Sentinel Warriors, this is Lieutenant Emily Seaton from 20th Air Force Public Affairs, and we are back with another episode of 2420, the podcast where you can get 20th Air Force information in 20-ish minutes. This time we have a two-part episode about the Defender Culture Initiative of the 91st Security Forces Group out at Minot Air Force Base, North Dakota. This first part will be an overview of what they have done and how they have branded it. The second part will come out June 20th and will focus on how they have incorporated diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility in a new program called the Female Defender Initiative. There are a lot of great ideas and practices discussed in both episodes, so let's go ahead and get started.
Hello, Sentinel Warriors. I'm Major General Mike Lutton, Commander 20th Air Force. I was very impressed by the Defender culture lifestyle that has been built within the 91st Security Forces Group. So today we have some of the leads for these efforts here to discuss the changes that have been made, the impact of these changes, and lessons learned. Please tell us your name, your duty title, and your role within Defender culture. And thanks so much for being here today.
Awesome, sir. Thank you so much. I'm Master Sergeant Gregory Fitzgerald Willingham, 91st Security Forces Group, and I'm the Defender culture lead or project officer for about a year and a half now. And we're honored to be on.
Good morning, sir. I am Master Sergeant Lee from the 891st Missile Security Forces Squadron. I'm a flight chief within the squadron, but I have been picked to lead the Female Defender Initiative for Minot Air Force Base.
Hello, sir. I am Tech Sergeant Tiffany Cook from 91 MSOS. I am the Hoop Scheduler, Self-Assessment Program Manager, Facility Manager, and also the DEIA Advisor.
I'm Staff Sergeant Kendra Ingram. I'm from 91 MSOS. I'm the Army Support Monitor and Unit Security Manager, and I am a manager of communication and onboarding.
Good morning, sir. I'm Master Sergeant Darren Marshall from the 791st Missile Security Forces Squadron. I'm the NCOIC of Operations, and I'm the lead for SFG branding.
We'll start off with Master Sergeant Willingham. Sir, can you give us an overview of what Defender culture is and how it got started and where the team is going with Defender culture there at Minot?
Yes, sir. I'd love to. First and foremost, we do want to say, sir, on behalf of 91st Security Forces Group, we are grateful and honored to have this opportunity. And certainly on behalf of Colonel McCarty and Chief Master Sergeant Brofman, we appreciate it, sir. And we're glad to share the Defender culture. And so when we say Defender culture, this is an SFG lifestyle for us. It's put in the framework of a program. However, it is not a program because we have to put people first. And so it models our effort with people, mission, training, integration, which is our mission priorities. So simply put, our Defender culture is a collective, deliberate effort by all big airmen to consistently create an environment that allows professional and personal growth for all defenders and their families. The way it got started was there were several incidents approximately 2 years ago, maybe even 2 to 3 years ago, where defenders across the Global Strike community were not representing the best. And so what came of that is the 91st Security Forces Group said, how do we make sure we represent and deliberately invest in providing the best defenders across our Global Strike community? As a result, the commanders came together, Kent, along with the senior NCOs. We canvassed the organizations, which was for over 1,000 defenders, and we gathered the feedback from all those defenders. And that is what brought about the 8 lines of effort. So it is really a grassroots effort and a collective initiative to help us move forward. Those efforts are culture, communication, nuclear academics, family inclusion, peer-to-peer, onboarding, branding. And that's just a little bit, sir, of how we came about with Defender culture.
That's exciting. What challenges has the team faced as this effort has taken roots?
I've broken down the challenges, sir, in 3 different categories. One is people. The second is partnerships. And then the third is communications. So when it comes to people, we had to identify the right people. And this could not be seen as a secondary objective or a secondary duty title. It had to be an all-out investment. And so luckily, we do have leaders who invested. They've given us the empowerment. They've given us the flexibility to maneuver as needed, along with the innovation. So we brought in the right group of senior NCOs, the right group of tech sergeants and airmen, all to identify what it looks like for Defender culture. Secondly, or a part of that, when it comes to people, one of the challenges that we do run into is that we didn't have the training to focus on Defender culture. How do you teach defenders how to change a culture when we're usually taught how to defeat the bad guys? So we're thinking outside the box, brought in our True North assets. That includes the religious support team, chaplain, as well as our psychologists, three social workers that we have. And we opened up our doors. They're embedded in us already, but we did open up our doors across the SFG and said, how do we make our culture better? And we relied on those extras, and we actually went outside the box and looked at the community agencies across Minot and asked them as well, how do we influence a group of people where 60% of our force is under the age of 25? And we've gotten a lot of great feedback from that, sir.
And along all the lines of effort, what type of impact are you seeing? What type of results are you seeing?
We believe we're seeing a significant impact on results. Now, when it comes to culture, it is very hard. We're still doing to determine what is exactly working. So we're still doing a data analysis study, I guess you could say, to identify certain points. But we do know our culture has impacted our non-mission capable rate, which is at 7 to 9%. Only 2% of that is for disciplinary. And typically the non-mission capable rate across the security forces is in between 10 to 15%. So okay, that has been a success and a win for us. In addition, sir, there's been a reduction in our assignment declination rate, which has been decreased by 52% across the last 2 years. Another thing that Defender Culture is doing, what we're able to confidently say, is that we're breaking barriers with communication and we're bridging developmental gaps. And part of that is building those partnerships with our True North team, the chaplain, and the three social workers, along with that clinical psychologist. And I want to pass it off to Sergeant Marshall, sir, if that's okay.
Excellent. Yeah. And I was going to pivot to him for a question on branding to understand if branding as a communication tool, is that actually going back to the Security Forces Center 2, where those young defenders are being trained, and then there's a linkage between that training and Minot?
Not yet, sir, but that's the end goal. Currently, right now, branding, we're just trying to teach these defenders what it is to be a defender and have pride being a defender. A lot of it's squadron swag. We want people outfitted with the best defender gear, hoodies, t-shirts, everything else. But it's more than just that. It's understanding that the patch that they wear on their arm represents something, and each symbol on that patch has a specific meaning, and understanding that meaning. So that's not just a patch to tell them what squadron they work in, but it represents something.
And with that, what feedback have you received from the airmen on those efforts?
Lots of good feedback from airmen, sir. The airmen love obviously they love the squadron swag, the goodies, the t-shirts, the hoodies, and everything. But a lot of airmen didn't realize that with every squadron patch, group patch, wing patch, that there's meaning behind it. That's not something that I think is taught to them in BMT or in tech school, but it is something that we teach here.
And for the entire group, I'd be interested in your perspective when we talk culture, community, branding. There has to be a critical point where that airman is being onboarded into the 91st Security Forces group. Can you talk about that welcoming process and how you build that community and culture?
Our onboarding process is the best I've ever seen. From day one that we get notification that someone has orders, we're making contact with that individual. We have a dedicated airman who, that's their only job, is onboarding. And they take care of everything from getting them school information, daycare information, town information, make sure they're educated before they come to Minot. And even the smaller little things that we do to ensure airmen's transitions are smooth and easy is, you know, Minot winters are harsh, so we make sure that day one that they have cold weather gear, because a lot of these airmen are coming from Florida or, you know, been in San Antonio for training, and they don't know what it's like to be in negative 20 degree weather.
So when we look at that, the achievement of personal and professional goals, in particular for the Security Forces group, what are the lessons that we've been learning that the Security Forces group and you all are kind of leading the way for our numbered Air Force and MAJCOM in this area? What would you share with other teammates around 20th Air Force and Air Force Global Strike Command? Maybe from a branding perspective, what have you learned, Master Marshall, from a branding perspective? What works, what doesn't work?
Sir, honestly, I think the biggest lesson I've learned so far is email doesn't work to effectively communicate with airmen. Airmen don't check their email nearly as much as they should, at least in the defender world. So I think that our other forms of communications, our strategic communications, have worked well with Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and all that other ways to communicate and reach out to the airmen. I also think that the True North program with the chaplain has also been a key part of that program. Our True North providers and chaplain are embedded into our group, to the point where if I don't see Chaplain Harris on a daily basis, I find myself saying, hey, I haven't seen the chaplain today. Okay. Where's the chaplain at? You know, so they're that accessible and that well known to us that they attend our squadron events, they attend our squadron PT sessions, they're with us day in and day out as much as they can be. So that makes everybody more comfortable coming to them for help.
Master Sergeant Willingham, your perspective as you're looking at the program for the Security Forces group, what struck me is it's integrated into the fabric of everything the Security Force is doing, right? So it isn't what we as airmen would think of as a program, right? It's the fabric of the culture within the 91st Security Forces group. How did you get that? Like, what is that aspect that you were and the team were able to get that level of success and not make it a program and make it a part of the fabric of the Security Forces group?
A great question again, sir. That is, it starts with our mission priorities of people, mission, training, and integration. But when we know that our defenders are some of the most, if not the most skilled, they're tacticians, they are resilient, they are adaptable, innovative. We know that, but how do we capitalize on that? So we're going to achieve the mission no matter what. But another question that we had to ask ourselves is, who are we becoming in the process of all of that? And who are we truly? And so when we sat down and could gather that feedback from our teams, that is what was answered through Defender Culture. And our security forces, we like to refer to it as creating some dynamic human weapon systems. But we're also, Defender Culture allows us to create great human beings in the process. And that's what we're coming to, sir.
And I think you grew me up a great point, which is investment, right? A lot of times we'll get focused on investment and it's a monetary investment. But what I've heard in this discussion is it's an investment of your time. It's an investment of what you care about. And those things are critical to our airmen because our airmen recognize that level of excellence. So my question to you all would be, as you are growing this effort, as you're developing this effort, you're also growing and developing as leaders. So what advice do you have for other leaders across the numbered Air Force when they're trying to start out programs like this at their organization? And perhaps we can start with Sergeant Ingram and then kind of work our way around. What are your thoughts, Sergeant Ingram?
I just feel like whenever you're starting something like this, like you said, you really have to care about it. Like, you're not only investing in these airmen, but you're investing in yourself. So if you take the time and you do it right, like, it can be something great to carry on and hand off to other agencies. So I just feel like you just have to take the time to really care.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And there's a perspective where it takes a catalyst to get that event moving, right? It takes one or two individuals, as you say, to care. And then those two people form, and then that idea can grow from there. So I think that's really powerful to recognize an area that needs work and that you have airmen that care. Master Sergeant Lee, what your perspectives?
Yes, sir. So my perspective is that leadership looks a lot like loving people. I think that taking care of the defender first, the payout is going to be so much more in the end when you invest in that person. People are our best investment in life. And so if we invest in the defender as a person, we will win in the end and get an amazing defender.
Master Sergeant Willingham, your thoughts on what you would be talking to somebody at Base X if they were looking at starting a similar effort? What were the challenges that you encountered as a leader?
Yes, sir. I would first say vision, whatever their vision is, and it's going to be tailored to their specific organization. That's why they would have to get the feedback from their team members and identify that investment. And then once they do that, I would recommend just a unified effort and a command team effort. And from there, they'll have to do great things.
And Master Sergeant Marshall, your thoughts, especially the criticality of communicating these overall efforts.
Sir, I think the biggest thing I would say is feedback. Feedback from all levels, from airmen to officer to the squadron group commanders. Feedback is important. And to listen to all forms of feedback, because there's going to be those negative individuals who have nothing good to say about certain things that are started. But those are the ones that I think we need to listen to the most, because those are the ones that if you can get them on board, you can get everybody else on board.
So we look at it, and clearly it's within the Security Forces group, it's defender culture, but it could apply to a medical group, it could apply to a mission support group. So when you look at best practices, we just talked about some of those challenges and how we overcome those challenges. And I don't know that it's formulaic, right? What you have there at Minot, I think is unique to your Security Forces group and unique to the leaders that are in that Security Forces group. But the concept and the ideas can go forward. Where I'd ask the question is, as a senior officer, what can we be doing better to support you in supporting the airmen? Are the developmental opportunities there for our NCOs? Are the developmental opportunities there for our senior NCOs that allow programs like this to succeed?
First off, we believe that what you're doing right now is helping that effort. Just the fact that you're invested in it and you're promoting it through this platform speaks volumes. And you've also agreed to donate a little bit of funding effort in our for the cause of DEIA and our defender culture. So we're just honored and grateful for that. So if leaders across the board could continue to do that and give that freedom and flexibility of maneuver to all our NCOs, I think it'll move forward, sir.
Super. Any other thoughts on that from anybody else?
Sir, I just say support from all levels, because everybody here today has separate jobs besides defender culture, and our supervisors and commanders have given us time and to be away from our jobs to perform our duties that we need to do for defender culture.
Yeah, and I would pivot to that, right? And it goes back to the point that, you know, to start a program like this, you have to care, right? To start a program, you have to care about not only the mission, but more importantly, the airmen that you're charged to lead. So as you know, you could have somebody that's listening to this podcast a week or a couple days from now, and they think they want to move out on something, but you look at the challenges. When you look at the challenges to starting a program like this, what's in your mind that those are the challenges that are out there? And how did you knock down those challenges?
When it comes to communication and investment across all parties. So we opened up our doors as a 91st SFG, and we brought in some of the experts in areas that we weren't familiar with. That included the chaplain, that included the other communities across the Minot city. And we just asked them, how do we actually influence the head, heart, and hands of our defenders in a way that maybe we're not so familiar with? And that was the first start in knocking some of those challenges down, sir.
Now, you mentioned the community, and all of us that have been in the Air Force, whether you're a brand new second lieutenant or brand new airman, you know, we're a part of that community while we're stationed at that Air Force base. Can you talk to the positivity that you've seen with community in Minot and support of this effort? Is that there with the city of Minot?
Yes, sir. From what I've seen, it is. One of the things that when we first started, we went out to the law enforcement communities. That includes the sheriff department and police department. And we asked them, who are law enforcement professionals as well, how do they influence a force that's under the age of 25 and keep them invested in and bought into the community? So they were just surprised by our question itself. And then we also went out to other agencies throughout the community and asked them the same thing. So the fact that we were even trying something new and asking them and getting them involved, that brought a lot of support from the agencies.
And I think that is indicative of the spirit of the communities that our Air Force bases are in, right? That they're a strong relationship with our airmen and families, and that's critical, and wouldn't expect anything less from any of our communities that support our bases.
Sir, I'd like to also highlight the nuclear academics classes that we do.
Yeah.
What is
in the nuclear academics class?
So coming up as an airman, I was told, go stand out there at this fence and don't let anybody in. And, you know, I didn't know what was there, what I was protecting or anything, but with the nuclear academics class, we're really taking a edge on teaching these airmen what it is they're actually protecting out here, what it is they're doing, why they're doing what they're doing, and giving them that knowledge that, you know, maybe we didn't necessarily have as airmen.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. You mentioned that giving them the why, right? So they understand the purpose of what they're doing. And a lot of times when we talk about giving people the why, that purpose, in my mind, it's also as much about respect for that individual, right? So to your point, it's just not go guard the fence line. It's here's where you fit into the bigger team. And this is the purpose of what you're doing today. And this is how critical that is to the overall team success. Do you see that in the nuclear academics, that they're emphasizing that why?
Absolutely, sir. There's a big emphasis on the why and the how to with the nuclear academics.
And for nuclear academics, are those internal or do people come from off station to assist in that instruction?
They're internal, but we also have help from the Intel and the missile squadrons as well.
Okay.
So they're internal to Minot Air Force Base.
So very excited about Security Forces group culture and what we're doing across the board, and also how we're continuing the momentum with Female Defender Initiative. Hey, I just wanted to thank you all so much for your leadership and what you're doing every day. And thanks for being a part of this and investing not only in our Air Force and our mission, but also investing in the airmen and their families that execute that mission. And I couldn't be more proud to be a part of your team. Thanks for being here today, and really great time in the conversation with y'all. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to part one of the Defender Culture episode. Whether it is to put more emphasis on helping airmen understand their why behind their job, or inviting more helping agencies to really integrate into the unit, we hope that you're able to take something away from this Defender Culture team. Please tune in June 20th for the second part about DEIA and Female Defender Initiative. See you next time.